your Bible or your phone or your iPad, I don't care how you find it, go to Isaiah chapter 43. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 21. I'm kind of one of those people, when I see things, I have a curiosity. And one of the curiosities that I had this year was, when did this making resolutions thing begin? When did it start? And so I started Googling, and one of the things I learned, it actually was had a religious origins. The Babylonians were the first, they think, that started this thing of making resolutions. And every new year, they would make promises to their gods, and I like this, to return their borrowed objects. Now think of how good that would be if every year that book or that tool or that thing that you loaned to someone came back every year in January. How many of you would have more stuff in your house? Okay. I thought that was interesting. So the Babylonians would do that. They would return borrowed objects, and they would also pay their debts. And I'm sure the bankers would like that. The Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, for whom the month of January is named. So the Babylonians and the Romans, both with religious significance, said, you know, hey, every new year we're going to start over with new promises, new dedications, and so that's where they think it began. And so I'm always interested, because every year I evaluate the past year and I look forward to the next year, and I'm always curious about the New Year's resolutions that people make every year, because I've usually made every single one of the ones that they suggest every year, and somehow I ain't got the, you know, it. Eventually you need to do it, you know, you just can't make a resolution. So I looked up what were the top 10 resolutions in 2019. And this is a survey of about 2,000 people. Number one, which is always number one just about, diet or to eat healthier. 71%. That's their New Year's decision. That's good. Everyone in this room needs that decision. Okay? We're all okay with that. Second one, to exercise more. We all need 65%. We all need to eat better and exercise more. I agree 100%. You can just look at me and tell. Number three goes along with those two, lose weight. 54%, their goal is to lose weight this new year. And usually if you eat right and you exercise, you lose weight. So they're all kind of connected there. Number four, save more and spend less. 32%, that's their New Year's decision, which is usually the New Year's decision every year. Number five, learn a new skill or hobby, 26%. I've been thinking about this. I have no hobbies. So I thought, Jim, you're going to teach me how to do woodworking. He's shaking his head. But no, seriously, many people during this time of the year try to figure out what's going to be my New Year's hobby. And I thought that was interesting. Quit smoking was number six. Number seven was read more. 17% said they want to read more. Number eight, find another job. 16%. I don't want to know if anybody wants another job. I don't want another job. Number nine, drink less alcohol. I definitely don't want to know about that in your life. And number 10, 13% said spend more time with family and friends. And I think that's a very worthy decision to make. I think really they're all worthy decisions. But so often what we do every year, churches and individuals, when we come to this new year, here's what we do. We tend to decide what God's going to bless for Him. We set goals for Him and then ask Him to bless it, right? We make decisions. I don't get churches making, I used to do this, a five-year plan of what we're going to do. How in the world do you know what God's going to want you to do in 6 months. I never found five-year plans work very well because the world changes and God may not want your five-year plan. And so, you know, I'm looking at all this. I'm thinking about the new church year. I definitely have desires to eat better and to exercise. But I found in this passage in Isaiah an incredibly interesting pattern for how to really have God work in 2019. And it's really a neat kind of thing. It's a very positive thing. The thing you need to know about Isaiah, that Isaiah is a book written by a prophet. And basically the first 39 chapters are kind of negative because the focus is upon repentance. It's focuses upon sin and the dangers of sin and judgment. But then from chapters 40 to 66, the emphasis is on the hope of restoration. And I like it because the passage we're going to look at this morning, I believe, can give you hope for God to do something with your 2019. Not for you to do something with your 2019, but for God to do something with your 2019. And I don't care how old you are, God has a plan for your life. And God has a purpose for your life. And you can do new things in 2019 with God's leadership. So let's look beginning at verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 43. And I love this. Look how it begins. This is what the Lord says. And I like what he says, and it's very important. He says, your Redeemer, remember that word, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send Babylon and bring down as fugitive all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. And then look at verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This passage is really neat because it's a passage of what God might want to do in your life. You see, the Israelites had been under Assyrian control. The Israelites had been under the Babylonians' control. And they had been a country that had been conquered and they were declining. And God is giving them hope for the first time. He says, I'm fixing to bring the Babylonians in their ship and destroy them. You're going to be restored. And so in this passage, it's full of hope, but I actually believe it's how we ought to look at 2019. Now, me personally, 2019 was a very difficult year for me. Primarily because I lost my father, my best friend, my hero. It's been a long year. It was a very difficult thing because of that major factor in my life, as well as having to deal with him in the last stages of dementia. And so 2018 was a tough time, but it was also a good time. It's when we came here. We've been here almost a year. February will be a year. That's hard to believe. But with coming here was a bad time because we had to move here in stages for months, it seemed like. And my wife had to get a new job, which we're glad that she did. But for a long time, she would drive up on the weekends. And so 2018 was a year of pain, a year of joy, a year of difficult, a year of struggle. And I started thinking about that as I thought about my life, which I do towards the first of the year. I kind of evaluate. I thought, really every year is like that. Every year is a mixture of pain and joy. I can't think of a year of my life where I haven't experienced hurt. I can't think of a year of my life where I haven't experienced joy. And so every year this happens. And yes, some years might be a little bit better than others, but guess what? There's still time left. And I'm not trying to be negative. I want to show you how this scripture can teach us to live with that understanding. So let's look at the first thing. How to let God do a new thing in 2019. Number one, so important, so easy to miss. Remember, God is our Redeemer. You see, the Israelites had been beat up. They'd been punished because of their sins. The Assyrians had took over. The Babylonians came in and they were being punished because of their disobedience. And yet, the Scripture says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer. I like it. It's personal. Your Redeemer. See, God is called our Redeemer. But what does that mean? Well, the Hebrew word actually means that God is an obligated family protector. As a matter of fact, it sees God as the one who protects the nation, the family of Israel. And as Redeemer, that means it's His responsibility to restore property that they'd lost, that it was His responsibility to guarantee freedom. It was His responsibility to avenge those who had hurt them, not their responsibility. You see, God is our Redeemer, and sometimes we forget about that. 2018 may have been a very difficult year for you, but don't forget that God is your Redeemer. Don't forget that you have a God who loves you as a father loves his son, and He wants to redeem you from the pain that you had this last year. He's not only just called a Redeemer, He's called the Holy One, the Sinless One, the Perfect One. He's not just a Redeemer, He is the perfect Redeemer. And you can trust Him. He's not full of sin. He has no sin. And then it also describes Him, not only that, He's described as our Creator. He created you. You have purpose. He's your Redeemer. He's the Holy One. He is your Creator. He is also not only your Creator, He is your King. As we head into 2019, we must remember that regardless what happens to us this year, God is our Redeemer. He is a holy Redeemer. He is one who loves us. Too often, we think we're just going in hoping that things don't hurt us. Here's the thing, God is your Redeemer. He is there to help you, to redeem. You may have had a bad, you know, somebody, a friend of mine called me and said, Bill, how was Christmas without your dad? And I really struggled. I felt kind of bad because it really wasn't that bad. Now, it's bad at different times. But I started thinking, why wasn't this bad? You know, I haven't had to worry about my dad in a while. I know he's safe and secure now. And it really wasn't bad because I know he's okay. Now I worry about my mother, but that's a whole different story in 2019. But he's my Redeemer, and we need to realize that as we go into 2019, there are going to be things that are good, there's things that are difficult, there's things that are bad, and yet you have a Redeemer. A Redeemer to get you through 2019. Now the second thing that he says that's so incredibly important to get is forget the former things. What is he talking about? I think to be able to see what God is wanting to do in your family, in your life, in your church, you're going to have to forget about what he did last year. We need to understand that he is specifically telling us to forget about the former things, the things in the past. You can't run a race if you're always looking behind. But the emphasis of the former things is upon the good things that happen in your life. Do you know one of the most dangerous things to your personal spiritual life or as a church, is if you just remember what you did last year and it was good. Because you're always looking back. You know, I went to Maplewood Baptist Church. Maplewood Baptist Church had been declining. It was a mega church for the time in St. Louis, Missouri. And I went there back in the 90s. And when we went there, all they could talk about were the glory days. What they didn't realize is since about 1958, they had slowly been losing their glory. They didn't even know it. But they said, oh, we used to do this and we used to do that, Pastor Bill. And what I realized after a while is they needed to forget what they used to do. It wasn't going back to the way it used to be. As long as you're looking back, listen, we had some fantastic things happen last year in this church, but we need to forget them. Because guess what? We get a new calendar. I'm so excited. I have a new calendar coming this week. And guess what? It's blank. And too many times we allow what has happened in the past good to keep us from looking forward to the future. In Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul wrote this. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The interesting thing, he's not talking about the bad stuff behind him. Paul was talking about as a person, he had to forget the good things. Remember, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the spiritual religious giant before he met Christ. And what he was having to say was, I've got to forget the past. He was the top Pharisee. And he discovered that what he needed to do was to strain towards the future, which is Jesus, and becoming Christ-like. In 2019, for God to do something new in your life, better in your life, you're going to have to forget about 2018. It all starts over. We should want to grow to become more like Christ in 2019. Because if you just try to live off what you used to be, you're in trouble. If you're always looking back. So I'm going to challenge you personally that in 2019, you will seek for God to use you in new and more ways. That you're willing to see what He wants to do in your life this year. Great about last year, but what good is He wanting to do this year? And then as a church, let's forget about the past. I mean, I know the history before I came here. I studied a lot of the history of this church, but guess what? I've already forgot it. You know why? As good as it may have been and all the positive happened, it doesn't matter now, does it? It doesn't matter. What matters is now. So we got to learn to forget the good things. But in the second part of verse 18, it says this, do not dwell on the past. This is more negative. While the first part is don't dwell on your good, the second part is don't dwell on the bad. I'm thankful for this one. As long as I'm thinking about the failures and the hardship and the negative in 2018, I can't see the good that God wants to do in 2019. Don't dwell on the past. If you're a Christian here this morning, and you're always dwelling on what you did wrong 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 1 year ago, 1 second ago. If you're always dwelling on your failures of the past, you're never going to see the good that God wants to do in your life in 2019. You see, we sometimes get failure, we get the failure complex and we ask God over and over. Let me, if you're having to ask God more than once to forgive you for the same sin, He forgave you the very first time, and you're wasting your breath asking Him over and over again. He's already done it. He's already forgot it. You need to forget it and go forward, not make the same mistakes. You know, people, when they join the church, if you join a church, I don't want to know your past failures. My goodness, why would I want to sit down and know how you've blown it? Do you want to know how? Well, you may want to know how I've blown it in my past, but here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The past doesn't matter anymore. All matters is tomorrow, today. But some people sit around and dwell on, poor me, back in 1988, this happened. And all they see themselves is a second-class failed Christ follower. And I've got news. There's no such thing as a second-class failed Christ follower. There's either Christ follower or not Christ follower. But people dwell on the past. They dwell on what happened to them. And you've got to get past that. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," then he commands us, "think about such things." I'm convinced that many Christians can't ever go forward because they can't get over their past. God gets over it, but they can't get over it. Is that you this morning? Is your past haunting you? Are you dwelling on it? Listen, the past is simply that, the past. And if you keep looking back, you're never going to be able to see the good that God wants to do in your life. So forget about what has happened. Don't dwell on your failures. Focus on who He is. If you want something to focus on the fact that He died for your sins, to forgive you of your sins, to change you from your sins. Don't dwell on just the fact that you're a sinner, because you don't understand the gospel is to change us. And we can't change us. He can change us. So dwell on that. But don't dwell on the negative part of your past. Because if you do, you're not going to make it in the future. The fourth thing, here's the part I really like. You forget the former things. You remember God is your Redeemer. You don't dwell on the past. But here's the good news. You look for God to do something new. Look at verse 19. I mean, I'm not a good reader, and so I can't even read it with the enthusiasm that Isaiah wrote it. But he says, "See, I'm doing a new thing." And he said it with an exclamation mark. It was important. And then he says, "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." The word "see" is a word in the Hebrew that means to mentally see. And what he is saying is, don't you guys see it? You've been in captivity, you've been struggling in the past, but God is wanting to do something new this year. Don't you see it? Not see it? So many times we have to see with our eyes to believe. He's not talking about seeing with your eyes. He's talking about seeing it with your spiritual. Don't you see the new things that God wants to do? And then he says, "I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." He says, "I'm doing something new. Y'all been in captivity. You've struggled. You've had hard times. But I want you to understand that I want to do something new." The word "new" there in the Hebrew means fresh. He wants to do a fresh thing in your life. A lot of times churches just want to return to the past things of life. No, I want God to do something totally. I want people to come to this church because God is doing new things. Things that we can't even explain. I believe God is wanting us to look for the new in 2019. Not just in your church, but in your personal life. And that's where I get to this New Year resolution thing. There's nothing wrong with setting goals and all that. I'm all for that. But too often what we do is we tell God what we want Him to do. And listen, God wants you to be debt free. Scripture teaches that. We all should struggle to get to that. God wants you to live a more sinless life. I mean, that's in the Scriptures. But what we need to understand is that we don't need to plan out 2019 and not allow God to do some new things in our church and in our personal lives. I actually believe that God wants to do some incredible things in 2019. The problem is, a lot of times we don't look for it. Let me just ask you some questions. What is God wanting to do with your personal walk in 2019? What does He want you to do? Is He wanting to share your faith more? What does He want to do? What do you see God doing in 2019? What are you looking for Him to do? What are you wanting God to do in your marriage in 2019? What are you wanting God to do in your family in 2019? What are you looking for? And would you see it if it appeared? What is God wanting to do with your single life? What is God wanting to do with our church? What are we going to be looking for Him to do that maybe He had never done before? See, the problem is, we get so backward in our thinking that we never look forward to what God might want to do this new year. And I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's wanting to do some new stuff. I'm convinced He wants new people to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. I'm convinced He's wanting to change lives in 2019. I hope that the new that He wants to do is bigger than what I even think is possible, because I sometimes sell Him short. I'm praying in 2019 that God's going to give us a new church with a new attitude, with new people. Every single one of you need to have something new to do at this church. I don't want you coming here just to sit and take up space. Every one of you have talents and gifts that I don't have. I need you. He needs us. And if we get excited about what He might... You might be thinking, well, I just don't have anything to offer. Baloney. God has something here. I'm looking forward to what God is wanting to do with our children's ministry, our youth ministry, our senior adults, our adults, our worship, our baptism. I'm wanting God to do new stuff. And He wants to do it through new people. Now, the ones of you who've been doing it, keep doing what you're doing. But we just need more people doing new stuff that God wants them to do. And not telling God what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. So what's my 6-month plan? I'm not sure yet. I'm working on it. I've been working on it. But I also understand He may want to do something totally different than I want. And you know what? That is okay. But my real question for you this morning is, what is God going to do in your life? And are you going to see it with your mind, with your spirit? Really, that's a question to ask. What's He going to do in our church? I mean, I'm hoping we're going to get... And we're planning. We're behind because we've got to find out about the floor. I'm hoping we have a new, improved facility in here. Some major changes. We're working on that. We've got to make sure the floor doesn't fall in before we start doing all the other stuff. And so, but let me tell you what. That would be fun, to have a new paint and minus some things. But you know what would be more exciting? To have a bunch of new people worshiping in a newly painted building. That would get me excited. What would be exciting is to see people coming here with their kids and their youth because they need something new. Quite honestly, 2018, 2017, 2016 was okay, but it wasn't what they needed. We need to open our eyes and perceive what God is wanting to do new. I'm hoping we have a couple new Sunday school classes, life group classes. I'm hoping we have more people on Wednesday nights and start some more class. You say, why? I just believe God doesn't want to keep doing the same thing every year. He wants to do different things. Open your eyes. Fifth thing, allow God to provide for your needs. He talks about in verse 20, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water. Why is this so important to have water? You die without water. The people of Israel could have never made the Exodus without God providing what? Water and food. But one of the things we need to understand is that God can provide what He needs to accomplish His purpose. Here's the scary thing. He does it through people just like you. To accomplish His purpose, what He needs, is people following His purpose. So you see what I'm saying? You're the solution to the need. I don't know what God wants you to do. I couldn't tell you that if I wanted to. But God can tell you what He wants you to do, and you need to do. He provided water in the desert. He provides what we need. He provides the people. He provides the money. He has more than enough of people and money. The problem He has is it being willing. You know, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in 2019. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I'm looking forward to it, because if He can take people out of Egypt in the Exodus and go through the Red Sea and provide for them after that, He can surely handle Mount Ida. I don't think Mount Ida is... People say, well, it's just a hard place to make a living. It may be, but you know what? God can do great things in a hard place to make a living. He fed the people through the Exodus. What He needs is us. God will provide what we need for 2019. We've got to trust Him. And then finally, the last thing, and I'm done, is praise Him. Look at verse 21. It says, the people, and I love this. He says, the people I formed for myself. God didn't just form you. He formed you for Himself. You're His. Now, if you don't know Christ, you're going to think it's your life. You can do what you want. But Christ formed you, or God formed you for Himself. You're not just one of a million. No, God has a purpose for your life. And then look what that purpose is, that they may proclaim my praise. When God moves, when God does what He does, guess what we should always do? Praise Him. He's a good God. He's a good, good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a kind Father. We should always praise Him. He is so incredibly good. And first of all, He has a plan for your life. Have you figured out what He wants you to do? And then second, are you praising Him when He does it? You see, 2019 is nothing more than potential opportunities for God to show His glory in this area. His problem is not power. His problem is not calendaring. His only problem is us not willing to see what He wants to do and then do it. Like I said in the very beginning, 2019 was probably one of the most difficult years of my life. But it's done. And I know there's going to be obstacles in 2019. 2018 was hard. We're having to deal with my mom on some things right now. But you know what? I've decided to understand this. God does good new things through even those things. It's all how you look at them. So today you have a choice to look for God to do incredible things or just not want to see it. And we need you. We need every single one of you. You need a small group. You need a Sunday school. We need your talents. If you can sing, sing. If you can play, play. We need everyone to simply say, here am I. Use me. Show us what you can do for our church. Okay? Let's pray.